If you have a Bible, it'd be great for you to grab it now. We're going to be looking this morning at a very famous passage. In fact, if you've grown up in Hemel Hempstead, you might have heard this verse put to music at school. Either way, we're going to be looking at John chapter 3, verses 16 to 21. John chapter 3, verses 16 to 21. Let me read these verses for us now. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. As I said, we're going to have a look at these verses now, but before we do, let me pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that as we come to this passage now, one that may be familiar to us, we pray that you'd be speaking to us through it. Father, would we grasp all the more what you did for us, what we remember today, we pray. Amen. How does your family do presents? Are you a wake up before the sun and head straight under the Christmas tree kind of family? Or are you more controlled, after we've eaten our Christmas dinner sort of family? Do you neatly peel away the sellotape and try not to rip the paper so that you can potentially reuse it next year? Or does it all come flying off and leave your living room looking like a storm has ripped through it? Presents are one of the things that we enjoy most about Christmas. As we think carefully through our different friends and family, trying to find something that will show our love to them in some small way. As the obvious ideas pop into our heads, and as the slog of trying to find something for our dads takes place. Christmas presents are a way that we show our friends and family just how much we love them. Now, as we think about presents and about showing love, I want us just to take a few moments on this Christmas day to think about how much God loves us. How can we be sure that God loves the world right now? That's a particularly poignant question at the moment, isn't it? It's been a tough year. We've had things given and then taken away from us. I don't need to go into Boris's announcement that was made last Saturday, do I? Perhaps as I've been saying this, as this talk of presence has been heard, it's been a sour one for you. Maybe they're stuck somewhere else in the country, or maybe even in another country. Many of us won't be seeing the family that we were planning to see this time last year, for many different reasons. It's going to be a Christmas unlike any that we've ever had before. And maybe it makes you wonder, does God really love the world right now? As different things have rocked our world over the years, it's really easy to wonder if God still loves us. This is a massive topic, isn't it? From the early days of Christianity, right through to this year, How can we be sure that God loves the world right now? Well, our passage this morning shows us that we can be sure that God loves the world. We can have ironclad certainty that God loves the world. We can be sure that God loves the world because God gave. You can see that in the very first sentence of our passage this morning. Have a look at it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. In fact, let me read for us again verses 16 and 17. And as I do, really focus in on what John is saying here. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. You see, we can be certain that God loves the world because he gave his one and only Son. Now, I don't know what is most precious to you, but if you were to wrap it up and to give it to someone else for Christmas, that would be quite the sacrifice. You'd hope that the person receiving would know that and that they would respond appropriately. It would also show something of yourself, wouldn't it? If you were to give that most precious thing of yours to someone else, it would show just how much you love that person. And that's exactly what we have here. God giving his one and only Son, not one of many, that would be a sacrifice in itself, but his one and only Son. And more than that, God sent his Son into the world to be lifted up. You can see that in the verses just before this one. Just have a look at the little number 14. God sent his Son into the world to die in our place. So not only sending his one and only Son into the world, but sending his one and only Son into the world to die. Can you see? God loves the world. He gave his one and only Son. Now these verses, they are crammed full. Yet did you notice that you, yes you, are here in these verses? Did you see that? Now usually at Christchurch Hemel, we want to avoid putting ourselves into the Bible. We're not the characters being mentioned. The Bible points to Jesus, doesn't point to us. But here in the sentence, starting with the little number 16, there we are. Right there in the word, whoever. Now, if you read John's Gospel, you'll notice that John, every so often, will turn from the action and speak directly to us. He'll say, whoever. He'll turn from the action to speak directly to us. And here in John chapter 3, verse 16, is one of those times. Whether you're a Christian this morning or not, whatever your age or your stage, John is talking to you. So listen up. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. See, John is talking directly to us. How does that make you feel this morning? Perhaps you're thinking, okay, God gave, fine, but God has to do that. He doesn't really want to. Maybe like buying a present for that distant uncle and aunt. You don't particularly want to do it, but it's what has to be done. Yes, God gives, but maybe he's begrudging in the way that he does it. Well, that's not true. Just notice what the effects of this are. Stare at the end of this verse. That whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. You see, this is not something that God had to do. He didn't have to send anything our way. When we realise the kind of people we are, when we acknowledge that really how we treat God deep down, we can't say that God has to give us anything. You see, instead, this is God in his infinite love giving above and beyond what he must. God is no Grinch. One person has put it like this. There was nothing the world needed more. There was nothing more valuable to the Father than his Son. There was no greater length to which anyone could go to show love. There was no way for greater love to be more convincingly demonstrated than for ultimate value to be sacrificed for ultimate need to accomplish ultimate salvation. How can we be sure that God loves the world right now? Because he gave. And yet, there is one way to miss out on this gift. Let's just return to our present from earlier. Just imagine that you have wrapped up the present. You've spent the time and the care. The time and the care to find the perfect gift. You've made sure no one else has had the same idea as you. You've even put a bow on the top and you've written a name tag. You have gone full out. And now the exchange happens. You can't wait to see the smile on the person's face. You hand it over, and without a thank you or acknowledgement, the person throws it over their shoulder and never looks at it again. That would be horrific, wouldn't it? That would be outrageous to anyone, let alone breaking the British present etiquette. At least smile and pretend, even if it is socks again. But that's how John describes the response to God's loving gift. It seems like madness, doesn't it? And in rejecting Jesus, in rejecting God's gift of his one and only Son, John says it's a rejection of God himself. That's what verse 18 says. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. See, as the gift is rejected, so is the gift giver. Rejection of Jesus is a rejection of God. But that might make you wonder. It might leave you thinking, why would anyone reject this amazing gift? Now, Christmas time is the time for movie marathons, isn't it? And one such movie series that makes its way onto our TVs each and every year are the 007 films. They used to be on ITV. I don't know where they are nowadays. Anyway, one of those films is named You Only Live Twice. It's one of Sean Connery's greatest, in my opinion. You're free to disagree with me. But the fundamental belief behind that storyline, the thing that makes the story work, is that you only live once. It's become a phrase in modern English, hasn't it? YOLO, you only live once. And the whole idea behind that is that now is the time to enjoy yourself. Now is the time to really live. That's why this Christmas is a particular heartache for so many, isn't it? That's why 2020 has been so depressing. But that is the answer to the question. Why would anyone reject this amazing gift? You see, John is saying that that mindset, the YOLO mentality, is the reason why people don't want to accept this gift of God. You see, it's not that God is a Grinch. It's more that people don't want what he is offering. Have a look at verses 19 and 20 with me. This is the verdict, that light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. You see, in this trial that John is picturing, it's not that the gift is unavailable. It's not that forgiveness isn't there. It's that people don't want it. If you've been listening to our sermons over Christmas time, you'll recognise this light and dark picture. We had it back in John chapter 1. It's a big Bible theme. Fill in the blank with me. In the beginning, God created, or in the beginning, God said, let there be light. As Israel, they came out of Egypt, they were guided by a pillar of fire that provided them light. I'll not go on. But light is something in the Bible that God provides. In fact, in the Bible, it's so closely connected to God that it can be said that it's a picture of God himself. And as we remember at Christmas time, that light came into the world. Yet people loved darkness instead of light. Like a child who prefers to chew on an old, stale cornflake they found on the floor, rather than to enjoy the Christmas dinner that's been laid out in front of them. You see, Jesus has come to bring in God's new creation. He's come to save the world. He's come to give eternal life in place of perishing. And yet people love darkness instead of light. See, it's not that God is a Grinch. It's more that people don't want what he's offering. The door to relationship with God is open wide, but the sign above it reads sinners only. And it takes humility. It takes honesty about ourselves to enter. So let me ask a question this morning. Where do you stand? It's a simple decision, isn't it? It's as stark as light and dark. Yet so many in our world do not want it. But as we finish, it's not all rejection. John lands us with one final whoever in verse 21. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it might be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. You see, it's not all doom and gloom. By God's grace, many have come into the light. Many have accepted God's good gift in Jesus, the gift of eternal life, the gift of a saviour, the gift of being part of God's new creation. Well, let's go back to our question from the start. How can we be sure that God loves the world right now? In the midst of a cancelled Christmas, during a worldwide pandemic, as we sit separated from loved ones today, how can we be sure that God loves the world right now? Because he gave. You see, whatever the situation, John speaks into it in this passage. As long as people still exist, John still says, whoever. He still speaks to you, he still speaks to me today. And God doesn't change. God gave. There's no returns. If you're a Christian this morning, please don't go to your Christmas dinner just nodding, yet not marvelling at this love. For there was nothing the world needed more. There was nothing more valuable to the Father than his Son. There was no greater length to which anyone could go to show love. There was no way for greater love to be more convincingly demonstrated than for ultimate need to be sacrificed for ultimate value, to be sacrificed for ultimate need, to accomplish ultimate salvation. See, nothing in this world can change that God gave. That's a solid fact. No government announcement, no separated Christmas, no global pandemic. God sent his Son into the world. That's a historical fact. And it's happened. So if you're feeling this morning that God might not love you right now, take a look at Jesus. As we feel the pain of this Christmas, take these verses from John and put them to the front of your mind. God has shown that he does love, and that will not change. If you're not sure where you stand with Christianity, well, please do think what John has said here. In fact, read through the rest of John. We've had John booklets at church. If you'd like to have one, just let us know. It's not very long at all. It won't take you very long to read. See how people act in response to Jesus. See what John has to say about Jesus. As I said, feel free to get in touch with us at Christchurch Hemel. If you have questions, we'd love to help. So, as we open our presents today, let's remember that God has given us the greatest gift of all. God does love the world right now. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truth of Christmas time. Thank you that in the Lord Jesus you have shown your love to the world. Father, we pray that this morning we would know that. We pray that this truth would not be eclipsed by anything else that is going on. Father, we pray for those who do not know you yet. Father, we pray that they would think more on the Lord Jesus and turn to him, accept that gift from you. Father, thank you for this Christmas time. Thank you that we can really reflect on what you've done for us. And we pray that as we do that today, we'd marvel all the more at the Lord Jesus. Amen.